Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible. Thank you. For tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in. Hope you're having a great day so far. Well, here's a question for you. What kind of season are you in right now? Many, many people are walking through difficult times, and if that's you, I have another question for you. How do you bounce back when your heart's sick and your hope is depleted? What helps you to get that spring in your step? Now, this might seem like an odd juxtaposition because we just came through hour one where we talked about lament, the power of lament. Talked to Esther Fleece about no more faking fine. This hour, we're talking to Christy Watts. The title of her book is Talk Yourself Happy, Transform Your Heart by Speaking God's Promises. I want you to know just at the outset, because I'm sure one of you is going to email me going, wait a minute, what are these two subjects doing back to back? They very much tie together and tie with Scripture, because there is power in the things that we say, power in our words, power in the story we tell ourselves. And as you'll learn in just a moment, Christy is no stranger to suffering. She's no stranger to grief and loss. But what she learned in the Valley of the Shadow was very, very important. And we talk often about the power of our words and our perspective. That's what we'll be talking about today. We will get Christy on in just a moment. But I want to pause here and recognize the importance of this day. It's Martin Luther King Jr. Day. It's the only national holiday named after a preacher. That's what my pastor said yesterday. That was a great thought. You know, he was a man with a dream, a man who paid a price for that dream. And yet that dream lives on in the lives and the hearts of many. And I'm sure you've been this way as well. I've been praying earnestly for our nation in these past weeks as we approach this week, this upcoming transition of power. And I'm wondering if you will join me in interceding for our leaders, for our first responders, our law enforcement, for the many in this polarized nation, that God would put us right where we're thinking wrong, and that he would unite our hearts and forgive our sins. You know, we need God to move on our hearts in our midst. So Aaron and I, my assistant producer, and I put this montage together. I pray it blesses you. Listen in, and we'll get Christy on in just a moment.
Exalted. Every hill and mountain shall be made low, the rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day when all of God's children be able to sing with new meaning, my country, tears of thee. Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's cry. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true.
Father in heaven, we come before you now. We humble ourselves, we open our hands, and we say, fill us again with your Spirit. Fill our hearts again with love for our fellow man. Forgive us for the constant ways that we divide, that we're selfish, that we're quick to accuse and condemn. Lord, nobody is righteous but you. Forgive us our many sins, and we ask you, Lord, may your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're desperate for your word. In Jesus' name. Only one name by which men might be saved. That's Jesus. So glad you tuned in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Hope you enjoyed that tribute to Martin Luther King Jr. My guest today is former co-host of the 700 Club, Christy Watts. Title of her book, Talk Yourself Happy, Transform Your Heart by Speaking God's Promises. And she writes, the words we speak have power to breathe life into our circumstances. It's just true. God's word, as in words that align with the Word of God, can turn an entire situation around. Words build our faith. They transform our hearts. They change our perspectives, specifically when we see as God sees, speak as God speaks, and believe as God tells us to believe. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Christy Watts is best known for her role as former co-host on the 700 Club and for her in-depth interviews of authors, celebrities, and public figures. She recently launched Christy Watts Ministries to provide Bible study tools, video blogs, and speaking engagements. Christy, so glad to have you on the show. Nice to meet you.
Susie, thank you so much. And I loved that tribute to Martin Luther King. I started to get choked up a little bit. I was like, man, even his words years later ring true because they were rooted in the Word of God, and we still have hope in that.
Indeed. Indeed.
So thank you.
Yes, thank you. And thanks for sitting through it. I mean, I hope that you would be blessed by it as well. So Christy, we love to start our conversations talking scripture. And I don't know if you've got either a life verse or just one you've been pondering these days that you can share with us.
I do. And I go back to it all of the time. It's Philippians, which is one of my favorite books in the Bible, but Philippians 4:4 that says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And I got to tell you, Susie, the reason why that scripture is so profound and impactful to me is I used to read it all the time. And, you know, the part that said, you know, be anxious for nothing, but, you know, through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. And, but it led to peace. And I was like, well, Lord, if I'm asking for this and I'm asking for that, you know, shouldn't you give me what I'm asking for? Not just peace. But I got to tell you, when I went through the hardest times of my life, cars didn't matter, jobs didn't matter, money didn't matter, relationships didn't matter, but all I wanted was peace, and only God could give me the peace. And that's why that scripture is my everything.
Yeah, and he did not fail. He did meet you in those depths and gave you peace and gave you a sense of his presence there, didn't he?
He did. He absolutely did. Because, you know, a lot of times, you know, for people who may know me or may not know me, you know, when you're in the media, whether it's radio or television or you're on a stage as a pastor or a Christian ministry, people think that Christians don't have problems. And we get on TV or set or whatever, and we smile and we give you scripture and we tell you how good God is. But the truth of the matter is, life is difficult for us as well, and we all have to live out the Word of God. But the key is, how can we live out the Word of God unless we know the Word of God? Not just the written Word of God, but the person of God and the power of God through the Holy Spirit that activates that Word, that makes it true and transformative in our hearts.
Well, you were in that. We're going to get into your backstory on the other side of the break, if that's okay. But you
sure.
opened the book with a story about a time when you were down in the dumps, and it really had been a long time mm-hmm. since you'd smiled. And again, our friends will hear why that is on the other side of the break. But you were talking on the phone with your mom, and suddenly the conversation took a major turn. Tell us that story, if you would.
I love that story. It kind of is where the title of the book came from, Talk Yourself Happy. And it was around this time, a couple years ago, when I was out of a job, could not find a job if I tried. I'm a single mom, was having a difficult time, not just with jobs, but thinking about how the bills were going to get paid, and nothing was happening. Nothing was happening the way that I thought it should happen. And I was praying and fasting, and to be honest with you, I was hope depleted. And my faith was wavering beyond anything. And so my mom, who is a strong Christian woman, calls me every single day, and we were talking. She was trying to kind of lift my spirits up a little bit. And I had been crying for 5 days straight. And I was trying to trust in God and have faith in God and pray and speak the word of God. But I was just pretty much in the fetal position in a corner in my house saying, Lord, what in the world's going on? So as my mom and I were talking, she tried to switch the subject because clearly it wasn't working, you know, in terms of encouraging me. And she started to talk about my sister, and who was going through a divorce, and I'd gone through a divorce. And I said, well, you know, Mom, remind her when the Lord did this, and remember when the Lord did that. And I started to recount past experiences that I had had with the Lord. And the more I started to remember what God had done in the past, that spirit of oppression and depression started to lift up off of my heart. And before I knew it, I started to laugh. And I said, girl, I just talked myself happy. And my mom, who was doing the same thing, said, girl, I just talked myself happy too. And that was the beginning of God really teaching me a basic principle. And that is, a lot of times in life when we don't see the handprint of God because all we see is what's wrong, God wants us to reach back into those times when his handprint was real by remembering personal experiences of when God stepped into our lives and helped us. And that's what helped me really remember that God hadn't forgotten me, because that was what kind of got me into the dumps, not just my circumstances, but just really believing the lie that God had turned his back on me. Or in other words, he put, you know, my conversation on hold and then, you know, walked away from the telephone when that wasn't the case at all. God was trying to, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, yeah, I was going to pause here and take a break. When we come back, I feel like I want you to pick up where you left off, because hugely important. Again, the story we tell ourselves and what we say about God and what we say about our circumstances in that painful place. Talking to Christy Watts, she's former co-host of the 700 Club. Title of her book, Talk Yourself Happy, Transform Your Heart by Speaking God's Promises. We got 3 copies of Christy's book. If you want in on the drawing, just email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Susie with an S. Don't forget your mailing address and put Talk Yourself Happy somewhere in that email so I know this is a book you're looking for. More with Christy Watts in a minute. for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Christy Watts. You may know her from the 700 Club. She was one of the co-hosts on that program. She's written a book called Talk Yourself Happy, Transform Your Heart by Speaking God's Promises. Got three copies. We're not going to take calls today, so I'd love for you to email if you want in on the drawing. Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget your mailing address. So, Christy, give us some backstory, how you got into media, how you specifically got opened the door at 700 Club, and then what life was like for you behind the scenes while you're navigating an upfront platform. You got some behind-the-scenes heartbreak going on at the same time.
Well, you know what? It's so funny because ever since I was little, I always knew I wanted to be on television because I always wanted to get paid for talking. And I thought television and television was the perfect venue. And I remember watching Oprah in 1988 saying, I want to do that. I want to be the next Oprah. So I went to school, undergraduate, graduate for television broadcasting, worked at NBC, Fox, and by the time I was 27 years old, I was a co-host of the 700 Club. So the youngest female co-host they'd ever had, and probably the wildest one because, you know, I always joke that I was a young black chick from New Jersey, and I don't know how people would take that, but just kind of, you know, wild and off the cuff. And so I was a co-host for 14 years, sitting next to, you know, Terry Musin and Pat Robertson, and just really having a wonderful opportunity to share the love of the Lord. But what was so crazy is being on a television network where it airs around the world and you're ministering to people about trust in God and have hope in God and all these wonderful things. And then it's true, behind the scenes, I hit a couple really, really rough patches that almost took me out, but ended up being the greatest things that ever happened to me. Because what the Lord showed me in those points and places of adversity and hardships were that I didn't know God as well as I thought. And what I mean by that is it's really easy to talk about God, but sometimes we forget to talk to God. And as Christians, it's really easy to reiterate phrases like, you know, the Christian phrases, have faith in God, trust in God, God is good. But sometimes we've got to take a back step and say, can we really say why God is good? You know, he is, but do we have a personal relationship to say why? You know, we say that God is faithful, but do we really as Christians know what faithfulness means? And Susie, it wasn't until I hit some really, really, really hard times that those words were not just words or terminology or Christian sayings. Those words became my lifeline. And the story that people don't know is that I was married for years, and I had my son on a Thursday, gave birth to my son on a Thursday, came home from the hospital Saturday, and Sunday, my ex-husband walked out on us. Mm-hmm. And one of the very last things he said was, he said two things. One, I never loved you. And the second thing he said after I'd just given birth was, you used to be so pretty. Look at you now. Mm-hmm. And his words shot through my heart like a sword, like a bullet, like a grenade. And it was at that point that I realized the power of words that are spoken to us and how they shape how we see ourselves. And the truth of the matter was I thought, well, if the man that I gave my life to made a covenant with said he never loved me, does that mean that I failed and that no one will ever love me? And if he said the last thing was, used to be so pretty, look at you now, does that mean that, you know, the only way that I could keep a person is if I was pretty and if I was perfect and if I was all these things. So his words began to shape a perspective in my mind that made me feel like I was less than and not enough.
Well, Christy,
and for years.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to, what happened to you there? I mean, and what people don't know is behind the scenes, he was erratic and inconsistent and constantly had you on edge anyway. But in one single sort of a verbal assault, you know, women, we love to feel pretty. We want to feel secure. We want to feel loved. Uh-huh. And he pretty much dropped a bomb on all those things for you. I mean, truly, that would be, wow, that would be something. Take us to the days that followed, how you found your footing.
That's a great question. I had to hold on to the word, the truth of the word of God. Because here's the deal. You know, when we have someone say something to us, someone who we love, whether it's a parent or a spouse or a friend, that begins to shape our perspective, but that's a faulty perspective if that's not based upon the truth of God's word. So my challenge, Susie, was I knew the word of God and what the word of God was saying. Christy, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. But I couldn't understand how I could read the word of God and God was saying that to me, but I didn't feel that way about myself. And I had a really difficult time because even though I would recite the word of God and say, yes, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Yes, I'm head and not the tail. I couldn't get it to stick, if you know what I mean. And it wasn't until the Lord taught me and showed me and said, Christy, the word is just the word unless it's activated by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord gave me a word picture, like with a lamp. And he's like, a lamp is just a piece of furniture unless it's plugged up into an outlet. And it's the same thing with the word of God. We can quote the word of God all day, every day and recite it. But unless the power of the Holy Spirit gets into us and activates that word so that we can believe it and say, no, I am the head and not the tail, because that's who the Lord says that I am. My significance is in the Lord, not in the in what a person, you know, in my job or a husband or a spouse or my financial status or my weight or whatever. My significance, my value is in the Lord. But the key is you got to know the word of God, not just the written word of God, but the person as in Jesus Christ, as in the word activated by the power of the word through the Holy Spirit. So that started the transformation in me, really getting into my prayer closet and really saying, Lord, I don't know who I am. Who am I? You know, and that started the transformation in my life. Absolutely.
We've got about a minute and a half before our bottom of the hour break, Christy, so you can pick this answer up on the other side if you need to. But you speak to this in your book, and I know many probably have said this before. Well, I've tried that. And nothing happened. And the thing is, it is an uphill climb, it seems, at first. Like, you're engaging some faith muscles that you haven't before. Right. And I feel like those changes are changes. They're just invisible changes, a lot like in fitness. You know, there's things that you don't see until you see them. So speak to the idea that there needs to be a personal resolve when it comes to grabbing hold of the promise of God.
Right. Well, I think the key is you got to first know who God is, as in the character of God and the person of God that really activates the word. So, for instance, for me, my issue was always the how. Like, if the Lord said, you need to forgive this person, I was like, I understand it, but how do I do that? Or God was like, you need to trust me. I'm like, I know I need to trust you, but how do I trust you? And the how was my issue. I just didn't know how to make it practical in my own life. And, you know, Susie, you use such a great analogy of when you're working out and eating and you're trying to lose weight, but the scale stays the same, but you don't see your body transforming. And it's the same thing with our spiritual walk. But for me, as many of us, it's once you know who God is, as in the character of God, that's when the word becomes true. Like, to know that God never lies. Right? So when you read the word of God, then you know he's not lying to you, so you can hold on to that, you know, or to know that God is faithful. And then what does that mean? Faithfulness means that God is reliable. He's true. He's dependable. He's unwavering. He's steadfast. If he said it, he's going to do it. So once we begin to know the character of God, that helps us to understand the person of God so that when we read the word of God, we recognize that God does not lie. His yeses are yeses, his noes are noes.
Come on. Let's,
does that make sense,
Susie? That's so good. We're going to pick up where we left off talking to Christy Watts. Don't go away. More great conversation up ahead.
Yeah.
He does impossible things. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Talking to Christy Watts. Maybe you've seen her on 700 Club. She's a former co-host from that program. Title of her book, Talk Yourself Happy. Transform your heart by speaking God's promises. And Christy, before the break, you were saying one of the first steps of speaking God's word into your situation, I mean, you have to engage your heart and your faith, is to know his character. And I thought of, I think it's Psalm 26:3, and it says, "And so we know and rely on the love God has for us." You got to know the love before you can rely on his love, right? We've got to know who we're anchoring to. And you spent that time in that valley of the shadow going, rehearsing again and again, wait a minute. What do I know of his faithfulness? What do I know of his love? Mm-hmm. So you kind of did a replay in your mind of who God has been to you so that you could trust him for who he'll be, right?
Right. I love that, Susie. And, you know, that was actually one of the things that the Lord put a mirror up in my face and revealed to me. And he said, "Christy, how can you trust in a God that you don't know?" And it hit me. I was insulted because I said, "Listen, Lord, I gave my life to you when I was 5 years old. I've served you in ministry for all these years. Of course I know you." And he's like, "But do you really? Because if you really knew me, you would focus less on the circumstances and more on who you know of me." And what I realized was that every single one of us has a story, Susie. Every single one of your listeners is going through something right now. But it's not so much about our circumstances as it is about what God wants to teach us in those circumstances by transforming our heart and attitude in the midst of it. You see, I had this mindset of, if I do good, I'll get good. Because as a Christian, that's what I thought. If I behaved well, then I would get good and life would be good. So when good didn't happen, it threw me. But the Lord was like, "Christy, it's not all about your works or your actions or you even getting good. It's about your heart being transformed into my heart, your mind being transformed into the mind of Christ, and your words agreeing with the word of God so that you can walk out the purpose that I have for you." So God will use different hiccups in our lives so that we can walk out the purpose. One of my favorite scriptures, "Many are the plans in a man's heart, but God's purposes will prevail." Miles Monroe, one of my favorite pastors who died suddenly a couple years ago in a plane crash. A year before he died, he came to me and he talked to me and he said, "Christy, God wants you to always remember this scripture," and that's in Proverbs 19:21. And that is, "Many are the plans in a man's heart, but God's purposes will prevail." You see, every single one of us was placed on this earth for a purpose, not just for our pleasure, not even just for our happiness, but for a purpose. And God will use different challenges in our life so that he can walk us through the process to get us through the purpose. And what is the ultimate purpose? The ultimate purpose for each of our lives is to reconcile others to Christ, to join others with Jesus Christ, so that we can use the gifts that God has given each and every single one of us to share the love of Christ. So for all those viewers, and that's hitting me so strong right now, Susie, that there are many people out there who are struggling in this new year saying, "Why am I here? What's my purpose? What's going on in my life?" And it really is simple, twofold. One is to reconcile, to join others to Christ, be ambassadors for Christ, and also two, to use the giftings that the Lord has given you, whatever that gift is, to share the love of Jesus Christ. I know I went on a tangent. I'm sorry, Susie. I'm back. Okay,
don't
go.
You dare apologize. I'm like, you keep going, hon. That was fantastic. And I know it was somebody's listening with their ear bent towards you right now, Christy, needing to hear every single word. Yeah. So please, I want to highlight what God's put on your heart, so you go and take as much time as you want. Love to talk to you about the aspect of the battle. You had said at some point in the book, and I've been here many times, but you described it as a knockdown, drag-out fight against the enemy of your soul and against fears, doubts, and worries. And I often say on this show that this battle is not for sissies. It just isn't. I mean, there is a point where you dig your heels in to say, "Enemy, you will not intimidate me anymore." I want you to talk about that aspect before that momentum starts to catch up with you, what it feels like all of hell is against you.
Right. Well, here's the deal. The enemy cannot physically touch us, but he can definitely influence what we believe, what we see, and what we think. He can whisper words into our heart to say, "You're not this. That's not true. God's never going to do this." And the key is, what word are we going to believe? Because there's always three voices that come at us at all times. We've got one, the voice of the enemy. Two, the voice of God. Three, our own voice. And ironically, the voice that tends to be the softest is the voice of God, which is why he says he wants us to go into that secret place, that quiet place, so that we can shut out and silence the voice of the enemy. So a lot of times that's why you have to fight with the word of God and fight the good fight of faith. That's the whole thing. People think that faith is an easy thing to hold on to say, Lord, if you said it, I'm going to believe it. No, it's a fight. It's a fight for real, because oftentimes the promises that the Lord gives us, whether it's a promise to restore our marriage, a promise to heal our bodies, a promise to open up that financial door, or a promise to give us that job, the enemy is going to do every single thing in his power to sit and to stomp on that promise and say it's not going to happen. Then he's going to try to highlight and show us ways in which it's not going to happen to solidify his lie. But that's the thing, the enemy is a liar. So we have to hold on to the promises, the truth of God's word, regardless of what we see. That's why God wants us to see as he sees, which is in the spiritual realm, not in the physical realm, to know as he knows, which is the truth of God's word, and to believe as he believes, which is the promises that he's spoken to us. Look, during this whole time, all I wanted, and this is so cool, I was thinking about this New Year's Eve because this was the best New Year's I've ever had in my life. See, in the past, I always looked at life of, oh, this didn't happen and that didn't happen. And I was always down and depressed. But as crazy as it sounds, technically, I still don't have a job. Technically, I'm still not married. Technically, all these things are still the same. But my life has never been better. It makes no sense. Financially, God has provided for every bill. In my heart, he's healed those deep, deep, hurt, wounded places that I never could think that he could heal. He's restored my soul. But the whole key was, it was that fighting the good fight of faith. I was talking to my mom one day, and we were talking about healing. And she talked about a scripture that says, as they went, they were healed. Some people are healed instantly. Some people, it's a step-by-step, walk-by-walk journey. It's the same thing with our faith. The building blocks of our faith are built step-by-step, moment-by-moment, tier-by-tier, declaration-by-declaration. And one of the reasons why the word is so powerful is you speak the word of God even though you don't feel it. You speak the word of God even though you don't see it. You speak the word of God believing that God's word is true, to know that if he said it, he's going to do it. And that's how you talk yourself happy.
Amen, amen. You know, I thought it was so good, too, how you wrote that while you learned to pray for your husband amidst some of his cruel treatment of you, and there were times he was cruel and left you feeling very unsettled.
Very cruel.
Yeah, you found yourself on one hand praying for him, but you say at the same time found yourself speaking words in direct conflict with how you were praying when people would ask about him. I want you to explain why that disconnect matters. I love that you addressed it, because I think that's probably epidemic for many of us, where we're praying one thing and then discounting it, our prayers, with our own words.
Right. All throughout the Bible, the Lord talks about unity. United we stand, divided we fall. Even the body of Christ, it all has to be connected. And the whole thing about agreeing with the word of God. When two or more come together agreeing, it will be done. It's the same thing with our word. When God gives us a word of promise, we've got to walk out that word. And what Susie's talking about is in my book. I would pray all day, every day that the Lord would restore our marriage, because our marriage was horrible. My ex-husband was an alcoholic, and he was verbally abusive, and he was all over the place. And so I would pray, Lord, restore our marriage. Lord, heal my husband. Lord, deliver my husband. And then I would get on the phone, and I would talk to a girlfriend and say, it's never going to happen. Our marriage is doomed. And so I would negate the very promises that I was praying for. So when we talk about the word of God, our words, period, our words create, they ignite, they build, they shape. But imagine speaking words and God is igniting that word of truth. And then we take a bucket of water and pour it on that flame. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what happens when we go against the very word we're praying for, you know? Mm-hmm. So when God gives us a word, it has to be complete, not just for us to say it and think it, but for us to walk in it. So if you're praying or believing for healing, you can't say every 5 seconds, I'm sick, I'm sick, I'm sick. Now, granted, that might be the physical state of your body, but it's important to say, Lord, you said you're going to heal me. I'm walking in that heal. And then you praise the Lord for it. That is so key in my book. Not just my book, it's the word of God, where You praise. You praise God. You praise him and thank him for what he's already done, even though you don't see it. You say, Father God, I thank you so much for healing my marriage. I thank you for paying for these bills. I thank you for giving me wisdom and direction. I thank you for leading me. I mean, okay, I got to say this because now I'm like all fired up. I'm even sweating, Susie, but let me finish.
Keep going.
Look, I know. All through the Bible, God gives us evidence of people talking themselves happy. Look, when King David was in the cave and Saul, the very man who he worked for, loved, fought for, dedicated his life for, but yet this man betrayed him and was trying to kill him, David praised himself happy in that cave. And he talked about the goodness of God. He sang worship songs about the goodness of God and didn't focus on his circumstances or even those who betrayed him. He praised himself happy. Paul, when he was standing, and I love this part, when he was standing in front of King Agrippa, I think his name, Agrippa, whatever his name, it was a king, whatever. So Paul was literally, he was imprisoned in shackles, had shackles on his ankles and his arms, and they wanted to kill him. And Paul said in Acts 26, verses 2, I think myself happy, because Paul was thinking about the time when he was Saul on the road to Damascus. Jesus appeared before him and not only gave him a proclamation of who Paul was or who Jesus was and what Paul was going to do, but Jesus on the road to Damascus said, I will set you free. You will be delivered before the Jews and delivered before the Gentiles. Well, that promise was integral because now he was shackled. He was bound in front of a king who wanted to kill him. So he thought himself happy by thinking about the promise that Jesus had given him personally. So we've got to do that. Even Jeremiah, so many people are upset about the state of our country, about who's president or who's not president or what's going on and racial issues and the government, the climate of our nation. Jeremiah felt the exact same way when he looked at Jerusalem, but he hoped himself happy because he placed his hope in Jesus Christ, hope in the Messiah, hope in God. And we need to do the same thing in our life. Praise ourselves happy, think ourselves happy, hope ourselves happy. And like Job, when he was in the worst of the worst circumstances, talked himself happy when he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him.
Talking to Christy Watts, when we come back, you're going to be amazed when you hear the rest of the story with her husband. He was gone for many years, and then Christy hears from him again. Wait to hear the rest of that story. Title of her book, Talk Yourself Happy, Transform Your Heart by Speaking God's Promises. I'm telling you, when you engage your heart and your mind in the living, active Word of God, things change. They just do. We'll be back in a minute. Guest today writes this: when our words focus on our faulty perspectives of our circumstances, it's inevitable that over time our words will have a negative impact on our lives. We'll be discouraged, discontent, disheartened. Our words can derail our faith in God and cause a sense of hopelessness rather than happiness. What we do with our words has an impact one way or another. So, Christy, you tell the amazing story of years later. So for those who just tuned in, by the way, glad to have you. I'm talking to former co-host of the 700 Club, Christy Watts. Her book is called Talk Yourself Happy, and went through a painful divorce. Her husband was an alcoholic, was verbally abusive, emotionally abusive. And you prayed and interceded and just stood on God's word for healing for your marriage. But alas, he was gone and he abandoned you days after your baby was born. Years later, out of the blue, you hear back from him. Tell us that story.
Oh, my goodness. You talk about the word. One of the greatest things about the word is that it's transformative. And that's what God wants to do with all of us, is to transform us. Well, as you said, Susie, he did. He left. And I hadn't heard from him for years. And so much so that my son, who's now 13, had never met his own father. He wasn't a part of our lives at all. So during this time when I was in my own valley going through, you know, situations with, you know, job loss and money and finances and everything else, God was teaching me to trust him and to have compassion and forgiveness and all these different biblical principles. And one day I get a phone call, and on my answer machine, it's my ex-husband. And he says, Christy, I need to come see you and our son. And then he says, and at first I was like, well, why after all these years? And he says, well, I have stage 4 cancer of the esophagus, and I've been given 3 months to live. And in that moment, Susie, the truth of the matter is, years ago, when I was more self-centered, self-involved, I would have just brushed him off because the hurt and pain that he caused up over the years, I just didn't care. But because God had shown me such a level of compassion and love in my own life and reminded me that even though in spite of all the times I personally had failed, God had never failed me. It was like, how can I not show that same level of compassion that God had given me to another? In fact, to the very person who hurt me the most. A couple weeks later, my ex-husband, who was at the time 108 pounds from 190 pounds, he couldn't eat or drink or swallow. He could barely walk at the age of 46, and he just turned 46. He walked as though he was in his 90s. And he sat in the very house that he had left in front of the very wife he had rejected. And he sat in that chair, and he asked me to pray for him, put my hands on his heart where the tumor was and in his esophagus, and I started to pray for him, and tears started to stream down my eyes. And if I could have taken away the pain, the cancer from that man, I would have. Because I no longer saw a man with alcohol, the arguments or the pain or whatever. All I saw was a man who was just like me, who just wanted to be loved and just needed help. And I prayed for him with a heart of compassion. And at the very end, he looked up at me and he said, what have I done? And it was in that moment that I realized so oftentimes when people hurt us, we look at the why. They hurt us because of the alcohol, or they said this or they said that. The truth of the matter is we've all heard it. Hurt people hurt people. And all I saw was a man who looked just like me, who was in pain, who needed to know the love of Jesus Christ. So I prayed with him. And even though he knew him years ago, I wasn't sure where his standing was with the Lord, but I prayed for him to know Jesus again. And at the very end, there was a peace that came over him. And he laughed and looked up and said, will you marry me? And I kind of laughed too. And that was our happy moment. And a couple months later, he died. But what warmed my heart the most was that it wasn't just the word of God that transformed my heart to give me the ability to love someone who had hurt me the most. But it was the person of God, as in Jesus Christ, who showed me that I was no different from anyone else, and such as my husband, because I always blamed him. And the truth of the matter is there was no difference. We're all the same. But it wasn't just the words that I spoke. It was more so the person of God and the power of God and the Holy Spirit, and that we need him. That's why we need the word. We need Jesus so that we can love each other right where they are, just like Jesus loves us right where we are.
Christy, it's just an amazing story. And if I remember right, didn't he move in for a time so that you could care for him? Am I remembering that right? Or did you care for him?
No, he didn't move in. But, I did take care of him for a little bit, but no, he did not move in.
But you cared for him.
He was staying with a friend of his, but I did. And it was so funny because, not funny, haha, but just interesting because, you know, he's sitting there and I'm massaging his hands and his hands were so cold and I'm massaging his legs and I'm massaging his hand and his head and I'm doing all these things that I never thought I would do. But what's so great about living in the presence of God is that you begin to have a heart of God. And, you know, we started out the interview with the scripture about rejoice in the Lord, but one of my other favorite scriptures is, in his presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. And people sometimes as Christians get thrown off by the word happy, and they're like, it's not about the happiness, it's all about joy. Well, whether you want to call it happy, joy, whatever. The bottom line is, in his presence is fullness of joy. In God's presence. But the key word isn't even joy. The key word is fullness, because in the presence of God is healing and restoration and wisdom and hope and peace and joy and, dare I say, happiness, the fullness of all that God is. That's why when we read the word of God, speak the word of God, live the Word of God, and actively stay in His presence, will God take us to that place where we'll be happy and joyful regardless of all the drama in our lives. He'll take us out of that place of despair. He'll give us hope in that place of hopelessness. And that faith, which sometimes feels like it's failing us, our faith will begin to soar. And as we know, it's faith that pleases God and faith that shows us that we can make it to a new day and another day in Jesus Christ.
Wow, I'm so glad you shared that story, Christy. And I imagine you, as you'd said, you know, you were the hands and feet of Jesus to your ex-husband,
yes,
showing such compassion. I bet you just sensed his presence because he's so in the midst of those kinds of moments of pretty much washing his feet, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And you know what I realized, Susie, is that, man, oh, man, when I worked for the 700 Club, I was so arrogant. I didn't even know it, you know? It's so easy to say, trust God when everything's going great. It's so easy to say, you know, God is good when all your bills are paid. But God so graciously removed me from that world to show me a world of people right next door. And what people don't understand is, a year before I left, I was praying in my office and I said, Lord, I just want your heart. And that's when hell broke loose, to be honest with you. But but I would walk my puppy and I would pray every day. And the Lord would say, go knock on that person's door and pray for them. Or he would say, go to that single mom's house and clean her house. And I'm like, Lord, what are you doing? And he said, Christy, how can you pray for the nations if you can't pray for people right next door? And you see, God was showing me that God's love is unconditional. And if we have God's love, then we have to be that same way. Because here's the deal. God loves us all right where we are. Whether your, you know, your spouse is hurting you, whether, you know, you're dealing with an alcoholic or health, whatever, God loves us all right where we are, the offender and the one who's been offended. And that's what the Lord showed me. That's why the transformative power of living in God's word and living in his promises is so integral so that we can be set free in life. You know, so many of us live in that place of despair and a disheartened heart. But God wants us to be free, free in heart, free in mind, free in soul and body and spirit.
Just got about a minute before we pray, Christy. How are you different after walking through the valley of the shadow? I mean, again, we talked about this last hour as well. So many of us, we think I'm going to be okay once I reach the pinnacle of success in whatever my sphere is. And both of you guests had reached that, but God wanted to take you into the valley to bring some deep healing to your soul. How are you different now?
Right. Drastically. Light, you know, circumstances don't, they don't dictate my emotions and my feelings anymore or my perspective. When good things happen, I'm like, Father, thank you so much because you're a good God. But God has really gotten me to a place where Paul says to be content and abase and abound, or the good and the ugly, the good and the bad, where I'm just thankful to the Lord regardless. And he's healed me. He's taught me how to forgive. And as a Christian, you know, we get offended all day, every day. And to be able to let things go so that we're not burdened, that's a gift. And only by the Holy Spirit has that happened. And, you know, during the season, the Lord's given me tools. And that's what this book, Talk Yourself Happy, does. It gives you tools to forgive, tools to trust God, tools to praise him when you don't feel like it, and tools to hold on to that promise, even though the calendar keeps flipping and the time keeps ticking. The tools. And so how am I different? Circumstances may be the same, but I'm free, Susie, and I have a joy that no man, no purpose, no one can take away.
Hallelujah.
And that's the truth.
Hallelujah. Well, as we pray here, wondering if you pray for that person who's in the valley, not on the other side of it yet, and longs for some of those treasures in the secret place. Would you pray for that person?
Absolutely. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that person who's listening right now, Lord, their heart is open to you right now. Reveal yourself to them. Reveal your voice. They say all the time, but I wish I could hear God and know God like that. Lord, reveal to them as you've revealed yourself to so many of us, Father God. Let your word be true. Give them revelation through the Holy Spirit so that as they open up the word of God, the word will come off of the pages and go into their hearts so that they can see and sense and know that you are real, that you love them right where they are, and that your love is unconditional. Father, I thank you so much that you're giving each person a newness, a new way to see, a new new way to think and a new way to believe as they believe and hope in you, Jesus Christ. Lord, we love you and we thank you. We thank you for what you're doing, that this is a new day. And we love you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Christy, thank you for joining us today, and I wish you God's absolute best.
You too, Susie, and thank you.
Your dear sister. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. And remember this, the Lord wants you to last long and finish strong, and he is the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a great day.